Thursday, January 5th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to a Washington Post story. The issue covered in this Washington Post story would be ludicrous, even comical, if it wasn't true. A newly elected congressman from the state of New York by the name of George Santos, 34 years old, he has come up with such a long list of fabrications about himself, which he used in his campaign to be elected in New York. He claims to be biracial, black. He claims to be Jewish and Catholic. He claims his mother died in 9/11, when she actually died in 2016. He says his grandparents were a part of the Holocaust, which they were not. He has claimed to work for organizations such as Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. He claims he is a descendant from Brazil. He claims he is gay. He also claimed while he was destitute just a few years ago and had to have friends raise money for his mother's funeral, the flip side of that coin is he claims to have loaned his campaign $700,000. Again, Harry, bizarre, ludicrous.
So immediately now this becomes a political football being passed back and forth. And so out of the Congress, the Democratic caucus says, and I think I quote accurately one of the news sources, here is a man who is an outright liar, but that shouldn't surprise us since he belongs to a party of liars. In other words, his election, since he ran as a Republican, becomes the opportunity to make a sweeping statement about all Republicans. Secondly, to double down on that, the Democratic leadership says George Santos is tattooed onto the Republican Party. Tom, as ludicrous as this is, as bizarre as this story is, we've got to take a look at it from a world and life view standpoint. From a biblical world and life view, do we see this Republican as a metaphor for all Republicans or as a symbol for all Republicans? That awaits to be seen. What do I mean by that? Well, what will the Republican Party, now that they have this information, what will they do with this information concerning this bizarre resume that he established on his way to running for office in New York? This is what we call organizational integrity, or in the case of the Republican Party, party integrity. In other words, will they bring discipline to bear upon this and deal with him? If they don't, then they own it. If they do, then they are able to establish the integrity of the Republican Party. Secondly, Tom, in terms of the phrase tattooed to the Republican Party, I would say no, not in terms of our electoral process. This candidate is tattooed to the New York electorate. Did the New York electorate do their due diligence and demand journalistic integrity and then call out what they found? In other words, he's there not because the Republican Party imposed him upon New York. He is there claiming to run as a Republican, and therefore the Republicans probably need to take a better look at their vetting process if someone's going to put an R beside their candidacy, and now must bring discipline now that they know these fabrications. But the reality is he was elected. Therefore, our nation owns President Biden. We elected him. Our nation owns, this is what we call federalism. The electorate owns those whom they elect. We have to own President Biden and the policies he is implementing. We have to own our state representatives, our senators, our governors, our mayors. We have to own that. We put them there. They're tattooed to us, the electorate. And when you find out such fabrications, not only is a political party or an organization called to exercise organizational integrity and discipline, but now doesn't the electorate call for integrity? We confess we made a mistake. We should have done better diligence. But now that we know what we know, we call upon the congressional mechanisms of dealing with fabricated resumes of those who have been elected to office. My goodness, where does that stop? But this is so bizarre, it cannot be unaddressed by the Republican Party, organizational integrity, and by the Congress in terms of standards of truth. But Tom, isn't this a sign of world and life view disintegration? Now we have so sacrificed the integrity and sanctity of truth that we have to now have extraordinary systems to verify the claims of people because truth is no longer a value to embrace and be identified with. It is something to be manipulated. And in our current progressive secularism, there is no such thing as truth. There is simply the embrace of, quote, my truth. Instead of objective truth, there is only subjective truth. That is, what is it that I want to be truthful about me? So he claims to be a Brazilian. He claims to be Jewish. He claims to be Catholic. He claims to be biracial. He claims to be African American. He claims to be a financial counselor and entrepreneur extraordinaire. He claims to be all of those things and more. But my answer is, so what? If that's what he claims to be, that may be the way he looks at himself. Harry, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is where we are as a world and life view. If he stood before people as we look at him, here is George Santos, and said, by the way, my name is Georgia Santos. I'm a woman. We would celebrate that. This is our culture of insanity, absurdity, lethality, and immorality. If he stood up and said, I just want y'all to know, I may look like a man, I may biologically pass the scientific test for a man, but in reality, I'm a woman. We would create 59 options for him to determine how he wants to self-identify. If he admires Brazilians to the point, I want to be one, why can't he identify as a Brazilian? Why can't he identify as an African? Why can't he identify as a Catholic? Why can't he identify as the child of a Holocaust survivor? Well, you say, because it's false. Right. That's called truth. But we now live in a culture in the triumph of self and identity politics and identity worldview that it's whatever you want to identify. Why is this? Well, okay, it's bizarre. All right, it's bizarre. But this is where you're headed to. When a biological male can stand up and enter into an athletic, academic, social organization and say, I'm a woman, or go into the bathroom by saying that they're a woman, or go into places of privacy and modesty, that is just as bizarre. And I understand gender dysphoria, that 3-5% of the population that goes through gender confusion as a part of adolescence. I understand that. But we have now created a virtue of fabrication, whereas biological males can claim to be women, biological females can claim to be men, and we treat that as if it's sane. We treat that not as a disorder, but as something to celebrate. This is how he self-identifies. Why is that wrong in a progressive secular world and life view? Now, we know why it's wrong. It's wrong because it's false. It's a lie. And not only must you be held accountable for your claims to achievement, you also have to be held accountable for your claims to identity. And it has to match reality. It has to be true. It has to have integrity. And this is bizarre, but it is simply a multiplied display of what we now celebrate in the fabrication of society, whereby we now tell people, your rebellion against the Creator who made you in His image, male and female, is now permissible. You can be what you want to be, and we're all going to act like it's true, even though we know it's not true. George Santos has just unwittingly provided for us a metaphor of the culture of insanity, absurdity, lethality, and immorality.
As we close out for today, let me remind you that on tomorrow's edition of Today in Perspective, we'll be doing our Ask the Pastor segment. This is your opportunity to write your questions and send them in to Harry. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Questions related to what do the Scriptures mean in a particular passage, and questions on the issues of life and how the Scripture addresses those issues. Again, that's askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview. to put the issues of today in perspective.